thank you very much, Glenn, and I do appreciate you letting me have the opportunity here. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday evening ElmerNet. My name is John, KD7AAT. I live in Napomo, California, and I'm using my IRLP nano node connected to the 9075 reflector. Tonight we are going to talk about weather satellites. Okay, let's start getting with the birds. The orbiting NOAA weather satellites are on a polar track around 500 miles up, over the North Pole, going down over the South Pole and coming back up again. As they are doing their thing, the Earth below is also doing its thing. If you were standing above the North Pole watching the Earth, you would see it spinning in a counterclockwise direction. So one time while the bird is flying over Texas, from where I live, I can get a Midwest picture. Actually, if it's further east, if you look at a couple of the pictures on the Cabara-Elmer link, you'll see that I've actually gotten east of Florida into the Atlantic Ocean. But at an hour and a half later, when the bird is coming back down again, the Earth has spun underneath of it to where now it's over California. And the next pass is over the Pacific, and this continues until the U.S. is back under the bird once again. Now, the radio footprint from the signal is a lot bigger than the capture from the camera, so you can hear the signal sometimes, but it's not going to get a picture of where you live. And this happens especially when the bird is on a lower horizon pass from where you are. And I can hear it, you can hear it, but it can't see you. Okay, so now we got the birds up in the air, and we need to know where they are, so let's talk about tracking them. In order to get a picture from a weather satellite, we need to know where and when that satellite's going to be. Now, there are many good and great tracking programs out there, and a lot of them are free. My good friend Scott, KA7FVV, and myself, our choice is Orbitron. It's a very good program. There is also one built into Ham Radio Deluxe, which also is fantastic. Unfortunately, out of the box, Orbitron can't do a lot for you until you get it set up. There are some settings, location, some other fields that need to be filled in. But when it's all set up, it is just a great free, what they call cardware program. Send a card to the guy that made the program, and he thanks you very much. With that program, what you do is you choose the bird that you want to follow. You let the program tell you when it's coming over the horizon, what direction, where it's coming in, where it's coming out, and you sit there and watch it do its thing. Now, with a rotor controller interface and the drivers installed, that program and others will actually turn the rotor for you on your satellite antenna. So all you have to do is just sit back, watch the picture, and have a nice day. Okay, before we go any further, does anyone have any questions or comments? Come ahead. Okay, nothing heard. So what we're going to do now is talk about making the pictures from the satellites. Now, if there are other programs out there that will decode the data that comes from the weather satellites. There's a couple of freebies. There's some buy-it-as-you-go kind of programs. But the one of choice that both Scott and I use is called WX2Image. It's a free program. It is fantastic. You get a 10-second reminder splash screen that comes up when you first bring it up if you haven't paid the dues to upgrade it. But pretty much out of the box, it's going to give you some great pictures. For the fee, you can upgrade it to get a few things, including uploading pictures automatically to your website like Scott does, and some other enhancements. But the free version of WXTOIMG, it does a great job. The main thing to do in that program is to set up your location and the audio source of where you're going to be feeding from your radio, and that's usually your line-in or something like, you know, from the sound card. And so after you get the program set up, you do what's called an update to the Kepler file, and the Kepler is nothing but a text-based file with a whole bunch of numbers. And all those numbers tell the programs, depending on which one you're using, they all do the same, when, where, azimuth, elevation, and a whole bunch of things to do with the satellite. And once you update those Kepler files in there, then it's got the latest and greatest, knowing which and where a satellite's going to be. All you got to do is click the Record Auto tab and wait for the satellite to come over. WX to image will know that that's the time to start recording, and as it does, it's going to show you the data coming across in a black and white picture, which is not really processed, but it still looks pretty good. And then when the pass is over and the program stops recording automatically, knowing that it's supposed to, it will process all that data and put in your maps, your rivers, your lakes, whatever things you've told it to do. And we hope you're going to come out with a great picture. And there are some tweaks that you can do to WX2 image. For, like I say, you can put in states, streets, lines for cities, counties, you can put in lakes if you want it to show. There's a whole bunch of stuff. But right out of the box, that program works really good, and it's pretty simple to use. And we'll drop and then come back to radios. And this is KD7AAT with the Wednesday Evening ElmerNet, and we're talking about NOAA WeatherSats. The WeatherSat radios. Not just any radio that receives 137 to 138 megahertz FM will work. Any radio that can receive that frequency range and has at least a 30 to 50 kilohertz receive bandwidth will work the best, or at least much better. Many HF, VHF, communication receivers, scanners, and those kind of types, they don't always fall into the category for that bandwidth for receive. Even though they can receive it, they don't have the front end open enough to get that signal in to get the best picture. So before you plug in just any radio, look at the specs, see what the receive front end is. If it's close or otherwise, you can try it, and it never hurts. There are dedicated receivers made just for the WX signals, WX standing for weather or something. I never have figured out why WX stands for weather, but that's what they call it. The WESACOM, WESACOM, APT-06 is an excellent one, and it costs about $175. It's made specifically for weather, the NOAA weather satellites. It's already pre-programmed with the frequencies. It has a lot of great features, including an auto scan. As soon as it picks up the signal, it'll lock onto it, has special filtering and some other stuff. that makes it work really good. Okay, so from there, the connection from your radio to the computer is the easiest part. A standard audio cable coming from your receiver output, usually just the speaker output jack on the back, into your computer sound card, and that's it. You can use an audio mixer in between like I do, and I can adjust. Well, I have all my radios going into an audio mixer, so I can turn them on, off, and do all kinds of funny things. But as long as you can adjust the audio coming into your computer via either a mixer or the radio itself, or using down there in the toolbar, the taskbar, your speaker thing, and adjust the audio so you can get it set for the program that's going to record, that's all you have to do. And that's it for the audio connection. No big deal. And KD7AET will let it drop and come back. First we'll drop and then see if anyone has a question on anything that I have covered so far. Go ahead. Okay, y'all are making it real easy for me tonight, unless I'm not even getting out. Now we're going to talk about the satellite antennas, or at least an antenna to use for capturing the signals. So you have the radio, you got your audio connected to your computer, and now you need to get the signal into that radio. I'm going to stress that anything will work. A handheld rubber duck, a wire hanging out the window, a vertical, a horizontal, a Yagi, a Wyndham, it doesn't matter. Anything will collect the signal and give you some results. But as always, with the better antenna, it will produce better results. Now, they say the NOAA APT, which stands for Automatic Picture Transmission, weather satellites broadcast their signal at about 137 megahertz, which one of them's NOAA 19 is 137.1, NOAA 15 is 137.62, and NOAA 18 is 137.9125. Their signals are right-hand circularly polarized, which means you will need a right-hand circularly polarized antenna to properly receive the signal. This is because the satellites broadcast their signal, but they also rotate while they're doing it, making the signal polarized. That was the tech part, and I'll break and tell you what the real world is. Okay, the real world is, like I said, you will catch the signal when your antenna can see the bird. Actually, I'll come back to that in a second. And it doesn't matter what you have. Now, let me say this. I do a lot of captures from the NOAA weather satellites. I have everything automated and ready to go. And I actually, with the antenna that I'm using, which is an 11-element Yagi pointing 25 degrees above horizon on a rotor, I start capturing signals when it is 1 degree above horizon. Now, I live in California on the coast, and there's just a slight hill to the south of me. We have some little few hundred feet foothills to the north. But 1 to 2 degrees above horizon, I start capturing signals. And that's one of the reasons why if I only lived about 200 miles further south, I'd be able to actually get a picture of the Panama Canal. But I'm a little bit too far north. So that's why I get all of South America, Central America, way down into above, wherever. Anyway, I'm fortunate that I have a real good clean path and I start catching signals. But the idea is You'll catch the signal when your antenna can see the bird, and it doesn't matter what kind. You can buy the most expensive antenna, the least expensive, or use what you have. And as always, the more you spend, the more you get. And that's pretty much the way that goes. Let me break. Okay, as I said, I have a picture posted on the Kabara Elmer net side. Glenn's got that up there, and it shows a picture. I've got two Yagis on a about a 3.5-foot boom on the rotor, and one of them that I use for the satellites is a 2-meter/70-centimeter. It's got a built-in duplexer, so I only have to run the one cable. And it's mounted about 25 degrees above horizon, and it's on a rotor. So all I have to do is just turn, I've got an infrared remote control on my rotor control box. I just sit here and look at the numbers on the program, and it tells me at what azimuth that bird is, and I just key turn in the rotor and following the bird around, and there you go. So the thing is, should I get a better antenna, like a circularly polarized instead of the Yagi? You can get what they call the egg beaters. You can homebrew them. You can buy them and so on and so forth. My feeling is there's some things you don't always have to follow the rules. And if you've seen some of my pictures, I think I could probably say that I'm doing a pretty good job. One more note after I break. And this is KD7AAT with the Wednesday Evening ElmerNet. There are other weather satellites out there, and some of those are what are considered or called the geostationary GEOS weather satellites. And they sit in an orbit over the equator that they actually spin around the Earth at the same time the Earth is spinning underneath them, so they never move. Those are the ones that are used like the Weather Channel and NOAA and your local weather TV people and all of that. They're getting all of their pictures from those satellites that are sitting out there. There's two of them up there, GEOS 13 and GEOS 15. They're 22,240 miles up over the equator. And each one of those covers about a third of the Earth's surface. One of them monitors North and South America and most of the Atlantic Ocean. And the other one covers North America and the Pacific Ocean. Well, the thing is, they use microwave radio frequencies, which the equipment and the satellite and the dishes and antennas for that kind of radio reception is a little more expensive. So with that, I'll stick with the cheap ones and what I've got and just use an AM/FM radio or a scanner if it works, or the front end is wide enough. And with all that said, I have just told everyone out there listening tonight all I know about NOAA weather satellites. I'm a hardware guy. I got it set up. It works fantastic. And I just enjoy doing it every day as often as I can. And with that said, if there's something I didn't cover or you have a question or a comment or otherwise, I will be glad to help all I can, or otherwise it's called www.google.com. So this is KD7AAT John, and I appreciate any feedback, questions, or comments. We'll let it drop and let you key up. Go ahead.
K1RR with a few questions.
K1RR, let me see if I have you in the database. Go ahead.
You're funny guy. Well, first of all, thanks, because this is something that is pretty fascinating, and it's something that I know absolutely nothing about. You know, I pick up a little bit from you and Scott when you guys do presentations. But really, I know absolutely nothing, so I appreciate you spending a few minutes here to share your information with Annette. Okay, so obviously, what is NOAA? NOAA is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They're the weather and water people. How many satellites does NOAA have is my first question. The second question, and again, remember I said, I'm gonna be the newbie here, the noob. I said in the beginning of this, there are no stupid questions. I feel that this probably would fall under what most people would consider a stupid question, but I am a firm believer that there are no stupid questions on this net. So, another serious question I have is you said that they go around the world from the North Pole to the South Pole, so they run latitude, not longitude, whatever. Anyway, but you said that they start, on the East Coast or whatever, move towards Texas, and then you finally capture them coming over California. But do they go around the rest of the world? So if you're in the United Kingdom or Africa or Australia, do the NOAA satellites actually travel north to south all the way around the world, or do they just go through the stages of North America? K1RR.
Well, a couple of real good questions there, Glenn. And the first one is, right now there are three active NOAA polar orbiting satellites that we collect data from. That would be NOAA 15, 18, and 19. 17, up until just a couple few years ago, was still working, but it's pretty much dead. Now, the thing about the NOAA weather birds is they have solar panels that they use while they're in daylight, and then they have batteries that they run on when they're in terminator and darkness, well, as soon as they hit the terminator and into darkness. 15, 18, and 19 are still doing really good. 17 finally kind of pooped out, and from what I understand, and we don't even have the data that comes through anymore because 17, I guess, is considered dead. So we do have the 15, 18, and 19 NOAAs. Now, like I said, there's the geostationary satellites, and those, there's two of them up there right now that are stationary doing the geosynchronous thing. There are some others that are like, they're sitting up there parked as kind of like reserves if one of them goes bad or something. But right now, from what I understand, 13 and 15 are the two geosynchronous ones. Let me break and I'll go to your other question. Okay, KD7AAT with the Wednesday evening Elmernet talking about weather satellites. The one part of it you might have missed, Glenn, is the satellites are going over and over and over the South and North Poles on basically, well, if it was straight dead center over the North and down over the South and back up over the North, that would be considered a 90-degree inclination. Actually, they're about 89 degrees. They're just a hair off from dead center going right over the poles. Now, they're not moving in space. They're just circling the Earth. The Earth is turning underneath of them. So like I said, one time they'll be coming down from the North Pole, let's say NOAA 18 is over Texas, and I can get a great picture from here in California while that bird is going over Texas heading south. The next time it goes up the other side and comes back down, the Earth has turned underneath of it. Now it's over top of California, and that's where I get a picture of my house. An hour and a half later, as it has done its north-south circle, the Earth turned underneath of it, so now it's out there in the Pacific Ocean somewhere. The next time around, it could be over top of Hawaii. The next time around, it's midway between Hawaii and, let's say, Japan. As it's going around and around, the Earth is actually turning underneath of it. Eventually, what happens is the bird is back over the United States. But in the meantime, yes, all those other countries, let me break here for a second. There is one thing that when they launched the NOAA polar orbiting satellites, what they did was time them. So 90%+ of the time when they're over the United States, it's daylight. We didn't care if somebody in China could use it, but it's nighttime when it's circling around, and it keeps going and going and going and going, and the Earth is turning, and it gets over top of London, England. It's night, but by the time the Earth has turned underneath of it and it comes back around over the United States, guess what? It's daytime. That's what the main purpose was, although they do have infrared sensors that you can pick up some really cool stuff when it's nighttime here, because they do pass over at night. Hope that answers your question, KD7AAT.
Thanks, John. And once you said that the Earth is moving and it's not, that obviously made a lot of sense and made me feel worse about my question that I should have probably picked up on this. But hopefully somebody else was thinking the same thing as myself. I got one more question for you. But I want to see if there's anybody else out there with questions about weather satellites for John. We'll take a break here before I come back with my other one. Any other questions for John regarding weather sats?
KF7ZIY portable.
Well, good evening, Dave. KF7ZIY, the hole driller guy. How you doing?
Well, good evening there, John. Very informative net there. I was actually following you along there on my smartphone on the Kabara website as you were reading along. My question to you there, John, well, actually, let me hold on the question. I understand what geosynchronous orbit, or such as the satellite stays in the same position in the sky and goes around with the Earth, so in a sense it stays in the same position, such as our satellite television dishes, pointing up at the satellites. Now these other satellites, though, the ones that are traveling, let's such you say, is from, say, the North Pole to the South Pole, or from the South Pole to the North Pole, are rotating. So in other words, I'm kind of trying to picture, does this look like generally a, say an NFL quarterback throws a spiral, football in a spiral, so in a sense it's spinning like a football and transmitting at the same time. That's the picture I'm getting what it looks like. But then if you have to have a circular polarized antenna to pick up the signal, and I understand that this satellite is spinning, sending a signal, what does a circular polarized antenna look like? That's what I don't really have a picture of there. Back to you there, John, KF7ZIY Hotel Portable, downtown Spokane.
Well, you know, Dave, I've never actually been up there to watch one of those satellites in action. But I do know that they are spinning in a circular orientation as they are traveling, and the antenna is always pointed towards Earth. So what it does is it makes a corkscrew out of the signal, and it's a right-hand what's the technical thing they call it? Right-hand circular, RHCP, right-hand circularly polarized signal. So technically, because of that, what you need is a circularly polarized antenna. They call them egg beaters. They have a horizontal, vertical, in a looping configuration from top to bottom. I know you've seen one. You know what they look like. And what they do is they capture that signal as it's changing from horizontal, vertical, in a right-hand configuration. I have proven from looking at the pictures that I get a horizontal Yagi beam works great. Now, Scott, KA7FVV, does have an egg beater type antenna, and we have done some comparison pictures, and he's even admitted that I do as good as he does, but it just depends. But the idea is that supposedly, if you have a circularly polarized antenna, which is considered usually the nomenclature is an egg beater, you will get a much better picture. That's all I know. KD7AAT.
Okay, John, roger that. I do have a few ham radio catalogs at the house there, and I remember going through them. I have seen the term there, egg beater. That's the key word. I've definitely seen an antenna that was called an egg beater, but I didn't really look too much as far as the description as what it was for there. So, okay there, John. Well, thanks for that answer. Definitely very interesting net on something that I really don't have a clue about. So thanks again there, John, and thanks for doing a net. And good evening to you too there, Glenn, as well. KF7ZNY Hotel Portable. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thanks for stepping in with the question and hanging out here with us for the Elmernet. I came up with another question for John while you asked yours, and a very good question. Let's see if there's anybody else with any questions for John regarding WeatherSat, K1RR.
Golf 7, Sierra 2,
Romeo.
Hey, good
evening, Bill. I guess I probably could have let John handle. Go ahead with your question there for...
Yeah, thanks for the relay there, Glenn. Appreciate that. Hey, John, and to people on the net. So you just really buzzed through this first 15 minutes. I wonder if you could walk through someone with their handheld who can reach a 136.70 frequency, which seems to be one of the NOAA satellite frequencies. How to get on? I didn't quite catch all of that. So if you could run through that again, that would be greatly appreciated. KG7STR monitoring.
Okay, real good, Bill. The first thing, well, you know, you can sit there all day with your handheld pointing towards the sky, and you can have it tuned to either 137.1 for NOAA 19 or 137.620 for NOAA 15 or 137.9125 for NOAA 18, and you can sit there all day. Well, you know, all those birds come by on every hour and a half, but you need a tracking way, at least, to know when it's going to come through. And there are a number of websites, and I wished I had it up in front of me right now. There's a lot of websites out there that will give you any satellite that you want to try to track, watch, listen to, see it as it comes over at night, so on and so forth. Maybe I can get the links up and have Glenn put those maybe as a little extra on the Elmer page on the Kabara website. But, yeah, there's Heavens Above. That's the one I was trying to think of offhand. Heavens Above. You can get on there and look up for any kind of satellites that you want. It will tell you what, when, and where it will be there and the frequency. And even with a handheld, if you weren't even going to try to capture the pictures, you'll hear it. And actually, I've got it sitting here, Glenn. I could play that little snippet, I think.
I played something just by the backwoods redneck kind of way, holding the microphone up to the computer speaker, and I think it was D-Star. So, yeah, and actually a satellite sounds nothing like I thought it would after hearing PSK-31 and RTTY and digital modes. But, yeah, if you can play a quick snip of what that sounds like, it sounded nothing like what I was expecting it to. I think it'd be kind of neat. K1RR, back to you.
KG7SJR.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
There's a site out there, November 2, Yankee Oscar, that tracks a lot of satellites. And currently, 19 is around New Zealand, 18 is around Antarctica, and 15 is north of Norway, headed over the Russian main continent.
Let's put it this way. NOAA 19 is on a north track just northeast off of Australia. NOAA 15 at this time and point is heading south, going to go right over top of the middle of Africa. And 18 just came off of Antarctica and it's going to come straight up over top of Hawaii here pretty soon. At least that's what my tracker's showing.
By the sound of it. Down to you there, John, K1RR.
Okay, and we had a completely total double there. I was going to tell Bill that I just brought up my tracker program, and NOAA 19, is that 19? Yeah, NOAA 19 is just off the coast of, what is that, New Caledonia there? Just north of Australia, NOAA 18 on a track, going to go across Hawaii here in the next hour. And NOAA 15 is headed on a south track right over the middle of Africa. And that's from that program that I was talking about earlier with Orbitron. But let me break, and I'm going to play a sample of what a NOAA weather satellite sounds like.
You're currently connected to Reflector 9075.
And if, and I'm pretty sure that came through. That's what the sound of NOAA 19 sounds like. They sound like a tick-tock clock. And I don't know exactly what that date. It's the automatic picture transmission, and it's almost like a weather fax in a way, almost like slow scan, because every one of those click clocks is another scan of the picture that it's taking. And I think that came through. KD7AAT, Glenn?
Yeah, John, no audio came through. I'll give that a try again. But no audio.
problem is I was playing it through my computer, and I didn't have it coming through the mixer. I'll have to play with that at another time. We don't have time to do that right now. Anyway, KD7AAT with the Wednesday evening ElmerNet, talking about weather satellites, NOAA birds in particular. And anyone else out there have any questions, comments, or otherwise, we would certainly appreciate hearing from you. So come ahead. Okay, I didn't catch the call sign. I got an N, I believe, 7-something, and a mobile. Give it another shot, and your name, location, probably wouldn't hurt either, and go ahead.
Kilo Foxtrot 7, Uniform, Sierra Victor. My name is Scott. I am in... Hauser, Idaho. Just a question regarding the looping that they do on the NOAA site, the satellite imagery.
Scott, you caught me off guard. The looping imagery that they do. And unless you're talking about throwing a bunch of pictures together from a few different passes, I'm not sure where you're headed on that one.
My question is, when I go to the NOAA site and I'm looking at the satellite imagery for a specific area, specifically like, say, for example, the Northwest areas, either visible or infrared or water vapor. Usually a lot of the links on the site have links to a small animation where it has the last 8 pictures it took, where you can loop through and it'll just replay those last 8 pictures. The question I have is I want to understand patterns a little bit more and see more depth, is how can I see these images or is there someplace I can access these images where I can get, as often as they jump out their download their images to the server, I can pull those images so I can make my own animation for a longer duration than just 8 frames?
Okay, I got you, and... Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are actually doing that with the same program that I use and Scott KA7FVV, and that's the WX to image. You can actually make either animation videos or you can take multiple passes and they will, what's that word, where they put them all into one big panorama. If you get on to, and he's got the new website address, KA7FVV, Kilo Alpha 7, Foxtrot Victor Victor .net, go to his weather satellite link. Scott's the one that told me and taught me everything that I know, and I've tried a few things since then, but... He's got a lot of stuff on his website and links to people that are doing exactly what you're talking about, and I think Scott would be a great place to go to get that information, okay?
About that information, I'll have to write that down. I'm mobile and driving, so I don't have a pen and paper, but... Thank you again. This is KF7USV, Chris.
Okay, real good, Scott. And, yeah, if you want to shoot an email to either myself or Kabara, ask for Glenn, or myself, KD7AAT, at charter.net, We can certainly get you the links or, yeah, I know Scott's got some of that stuff going on. He does some panoramas, but he's got links on there to people that are doing exactly what you're talking about. I just haven't got that far. And specifically, without upgrading for the $90 or whatever it is to the decode program, I don't have that capability anyway. So thanks for jumping in and asking and trying to help you out there as best we could. So let's move along. KD7AAT, I'm going to turn it back to Glenn. Go ahead.
Business job there, John. Again, this is something, a topic that I know absolutely nothing about, but I think it's a fascinating part of the amateur radio hobby, and appreciate you stepping in with your information tonight. I do want to remind people, the Wednesday closest to Thanksgiving, I don't remember what the date that is, but we're going to bring Scott in, John's partner in crime when it comes to weather satellites, and he's going to talk about the amateur radio satellites, another fascinating part of the hobby, where you can actually use a satellite to communicate, talk to it, and it repeats it back out. But, you know, again, yeah, something I know little to nothing about. So the Wednesday closest to Thanksgiving, we will be talking about Fun Cubes and other amateur radio satellites. John definitely knows his stuff when it comes to the weather sets, and definitely appreciate his time for stepping in here this evening. Before I ask for any more questions, I want to get one in myself. This is more of a technical thing, but you say that the RHCP is a right-hand circularly polarized receive is what you need. So a right-hand right-handed circularly polarized antenna to receive. That must mean, technically, the satellite's then what, spinning to the left, or is it also spinning to the right? Go ahead, John. K1RR.
KD7AAT here. It's past my bedtime. I'm already spinning either way. You know, I know as much about that question as you just asked for the answer. All I know is the satellites are actually spinning, and they're making a signal. It pretty much looks like a corkscrew, and they call it right-handed. Now, is that right-handed coming off of the bird or how we receive it? That's a big Google here with capital letters. I don't know.
Well, I thought I would try. I was sitting here thinking about it, and if you use your right hand turning right and your left hand turning right, that doesn't work. So to me, it means that the satellite must be spinning to its left. But I'm not sure, so I thought I'd ask. All right, let's see if I see any other questions here for John before it's night time for him. Anybody with any questions regarding weather sets before we let John take a break here? K1RR standing by.
KD7VFQ with a question for John.
KG7VFQ, I think. Go ahead.
I've seen a lot of the pictures you've done. You've got to have a favorite in there somewhere. Did you take a picture of a hurricane? Did you grab a picture of a hurricane? What's your favorite shot you've done? You've got to have one. I'm sure Glenn has a couple of favorite shots he got from that weather balloon. So what's your favorite weather shot?
You know, to be honest with you, Jim, I actually did not give Glenn one of the ones that I captured with the eye of the hurricane that was off of the Gulf Coast a few months ago. And it's probably one of my favorites. I didn't even know, hadn't read the news, didn't even know about that hurricane that was out there heading towards the Gulf. Or, I'm sorry, well, the Gulf of California and the west side of Mexico. I didn't even know about it until I actually pulled a picture of it on the Weatherbird one day, and there it was, a big old hurricane out there with a nice big black eye. That's probably one of my favorites, other than the fact that I caught it was probably like a 5 or 8 degree above my east horizon. It was one of those perfect signal days, and one of those I do have on the Kabara website there now. I got all the way over past the east side of Florida into the Atlantic Ocean. That was probably one of my first or second choice ones, but yeah, I've actually got one with the hurricane, I can't remember what the name of it was now, a few months ago, and I actually did a couple of pictures with the eyeball. But yeah, to be honest with you, it's almost kind of a no-brainer anymore. All I do is get the radio turned on, get the antenna point in the right direction, follow it, and get a good picture. Some days you get a lot of static, atmospheric. Some days it's just 100% beautiful, and all I do is just take the pictures and throw them on the book. Katie 7880.
And
You know, the one thing that I cannot stress any more than that is if you go to KA7FVV, that's Kilo Alpha 7 Foxtrot Victor Victor dot N-E-T. Scott is the one that got me started in this stuff. And the third link down on the left is Weather Satellites. And he has a ton of resources, information, and everything in the world. And that's where I go. I use his website for the satellites, the AM-FM sats, the SO-50s, the Oscars. Just today, totally off topic, but I pulled a bunch of data off of FunCube, SO, what is it, 73? And that automatically goes across the internet to the data warehouse in England. And Scott will be talking about that when it's his turn. What is that going to be, Glenn, next week or a couple weeks from now? KD7AAT.
KG7FHJ, make sure that you got your question answered. And yeah, we're going to bring Scott in. I think we're going to kind of have a mixed up alternate weeks here. Might have to double up on topics. But I think November 25th is the Wednesday that Scott will be here. So November 25, we'll have Scott in here as another guest, Elmer. To talk about all the different satellites that you can actually transmit and receive on. So mark that one on the calendar. Wednesday, November 25th. Back to you, KG7FHG from K1RR.
K1RR7, Foxtrot Hotel, Juliet. Thank you, John, for the excellent information. I got that all down on pen and paper, and we'll be checking it out.
Okay, real good, Ken, and thanks for dropping in and being part of the show tonight. And we do appreciate your interest, and it's another part of the hobby. You know, there are, to be honest, you don't have to even have an amateur radio license to pull weather satellites or listen to any of them up there. But there are FM sats, there's U.S. Sideband sats, there's AM sats, I guess they're all FM. FM or sideband satellites, there's the weather satellites, you can go exotic, and you can start pulling actually what they call the WE faxes. It's facsimile stuff. You can get some slow scan TV from some of them. That starts getting a little bit expensive for some of the equipment. A lot of it gets into microwave and beyond and above here and there, but and specialized equipment and antennas. But yeah, it's just part of the hobby, digital and all the other sides. But, yeah, thanks so much, Ken, for jumping in there this evening. We appreciate that. And I'll turn it back to Glenn, KD7AAT.
Well, thanks, John. I'll tell you, my only satellite communication ever was to ISS, and it flies overhead quite a few times a day and evening when it's in range of your house or shack, and then it can go for days and days and days without ever being close enough to hear it. But sending an APRS beacon to the International Space Station, which only takes a split second, and then seeing your call sign and location
pop up on the map of stations heard by the International Space Station. I think maybe that'll be a topic for the Almarnet. That's a really inexpensive way. If you have a way to transmit APRS over RF, it's a very inexpensive and fun way to see a satellite or space station, whatever. So I have put that on the list of future Almarnet topics. Thanks again, John, for hanging out here this evening and participating in the Almarnet. I'm going to turn it back out, look for more questions. That's what I'm going to do. Anybody else with any questions, please call now.
And I'll just jump in real quick, Glenn. About 5 o'clock in the morning, ISS is going to be, you should be able to play with it if you want to. It's going to be heading, it'll be well within your range. Kitty 780.
Yeah, you know, the first time I did it, I was actually in the mobile. I had my APRS TNC mounted in my truck and did not have one at the house at the time. So I just brought it in and reprogrammed it real quick with what you need for ISS and just went out driving around the neighborhood about 5 minutes before it was supposed to be overhead and drove around for 10, maybe 15 minutes turning corners and letting it beacon. And I came running back into the shack after it was over and looked up the website and saw my call sign, and I was dancing around the house like a teenage girl, and screaming like a teenage girl. It was pretty cool. I had a good time with that. So yeah, we'll definitely have to put that on the list of topics for future Almarnets. That'll be a fun one. Well, I didn't hear any more questions lurking there in the background, so I guess this will pretty much wrap up another edition of the Almarnet. But big thanks to John for sticking around with us this evening. I'm sure people get sick of hearing my voice each and every week, although John's probably not that much. Never mind, I'll be nice tonight. But seriously, John, thanks for hanging out and sharing your information with us. Again, a topic I know absolutely nothing about. Back to you there, John, for your last round, and we'll close this thing up.
Okay, real good, Glenn, and we've got an hour and 5 minutes recorded, and we'll chop it up a little bit and send that off to you and let you do with what you want to. But do want to thank everybody that listened in and participated this evening. Like I said, I'm more of the hardware guy. I get it set up and I make it work, and all the technical stuff, I have no idea. I could tell you that the NOAA weather satellites are about 13 feet by 6 feet. That includes the solar arrays. And all I know is they go fast enough around the Earth that they don't fall in and they don't go out. And that's a whole lot different than the International Space Station that's flying at 17,000 miles an hour. And it's only 200 miles up in the air. The weather birds are 500 miles up there. And then you got the other ones that are just hanging out at 22,000 miles. So, with that said, thanks, Glenn, for having me. I appreciate it, and I did enjoy it. I hope everyone got some answers, questions answered. And you can always look us up on Facebook or the Kabara webpage, and we'll go from there. My name is John, KD7AAT, and I am going to be clear on your final there, Glenn. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thanks, John, and that's something else I forgot to mention in the beginning. John has been kind enough to set up some of his radio equipment down there in California to actually record our Almarnets from now on,
I'll just post a link on the website, www.kbara.org. Click on the Elmernet link in the left menu, and you'll see different topics of discussion from past Elmernets. But starting with tonight's weather stats, when I get the raw audio uploaded tonight or tomorrow, I will make a link next to it, and you can actually play back all the audio from tonight's net. So for anybody that may have missed anything or mobile and didn't have a chance to write something down or just want to come back to it for future reference at a later time, the raw audio from tonight's net will be available. So looking forward to that, and thanks to John for dedicating a radio and his computer to record our nets for us. All right, everyone, thanks for another wonderful edition of the Elmernet. This is Glenn, Q1RR, officially closing the net here at 8:48 this evening and returning the repeaters back to normal operation. 7-3.